thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way as we continue to speak on the grace of God. God is absolutely a God of grace. And if we understand grace, we will know that grace is such a powerful, powerful force in the lives of believers that we can rest in what God has done and have the nature of God in us. And that's what we're going to look at today. I just believe that an in-depth study of the grace of God and what brings grace will bring understanding to our hearts so that we will more willingly open up our hearts to what Jesus Christ has freely given unto us. Only if we don't understand what God is, or how grace works and what grace is, we will neglect the message of grace and the message of what God has done through Jesus. And we will start to try to function by what we must do for God. The definition of grace, and I want to quote it quickly from the Strong's Concordance, is the divine influence upon the heart. It actually says, especially the divine influence upon the heart, and it's acting out in the life that includes gratitude. So grace is God's divine influence upon the belief system of a man, the manifestation of that in the physical life, including gratitude. So God has been gracious towards mankind, and you can, as an individual, also experience grace. God has been gracious towards mankind by influencing man to be in a place where they can be saved. Jesus died for the sins of the world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So when God loves us, He gives. He gave His Son towards us, and when He gave His Son towards us, the sins of the world was paid for. So that whosoever that believes that will enter into, and according to Romans 5, chapter 1 and 2, by faith have access into that grace. What is that grace? That influence now comes to your life. He's paid for the sins of man. He's influenced man that all the sins are paid for. And now it is in your heart. You start to live like somebody that sins has been paid for. You live like somebody that's not under the bondage of flesh, under the bondage of decay, under the bondage of everything going backwards, but you are under the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, that is so powerful. I know it's a mouthful, but God is good. Hallelujah. Now, if you're watching this program and you're really struggling in certain areas of your life, you're struggling with your health, you're struggling with prosperity, you are struggling to get rid of certain things in your life that you want to get rid of and you never seem to get rid of it. If you struggle about what people think of you, if you struggle to just always be the man that everybody must love and doing things for people with a purpose that they must love you more and all of those type of things, and you're under the influence, just negative things in your life, God can set you free. If you've got problems today, fears that drive you, that bind you, the fear of not having, the fear of things not going to come through, the fear of not even really knowing if you are saved. You know, I'm amazed to see how many born-again people don't really know, if they must be honest with themselves in the depth of their heart, that they are saved. I've spoken to many Christians that just say, you know, if I must be quite honest, and I think I'm going to die right now, and see God, or just see God, I will have fear in my heart because I will not know for sure what sin is He going to mention, because He might call things that I've done wrong that I don't even know of, and He would want to sort that out with me because, and that, if you've got that fear, you must listen today, because the grace of God is going to set you free. The more you know about your sins being paid for, the more you will walk in the power of God. Hallelujah. Remember, Christianity is not supposed to be something difficult. It is, and if especially if you listen to the previous session, if you can order that, you'll be so blessed by that. Because we were talking about how easy it is to have the fruit of God in your life. How easy it is to have long-suffering, kindness, gentleness. It's easier to have love in your heart than what it is to have hate in your heart. It's easier to have the emotion of peace in your heart than what it is to have fear in your heart. Why is it like that? Because where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. The influence that Jesus Christ has in this world is a million times bigger than what the influence of Adam was upon man. God's influence towards you is always greater than the influence of Adam. Right. God's influence through Jesus Christ, of course. Right. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's read again. I know we've been reading this in every session. We've been looking at this in every session. But I tell you, I believe that through repeating this, you can also see the way in which I do my Bible study, in which I study the Scriptures. When you study the Scripture, don't read the thing just once. Read through it, read through it, read through it. And if you've got access to a computer or a Strong's Concordance or a Thayer Concordance, read through that with the Greek meanings of the Scriptures with a mindset of, I want to see what God has done for me. Because if you start to look at it in that perspective, you will find, man, I just start to experience more and more and more of the grace of God. I start to experience peace coming to my life. I start to experience a completely different emotional life. Never think, and I know I've said it in every session, never think that we as Christians are not supposed to live through our emotions. We are supposed to. We are supposed to come to a place where we can feel and experience the love of God. If I don't live by my emotions and I feel to forgive somebody, and I say I don't live by my emotions, I will not forgive him. That's it. But if we get under the grace of God, that is God's influence in my heart. Now your heart can hurt, your heart can be happy, your heart can be sad. In your heart you feel to do things. No, I feel in my heart. That's what we as Christians say all the time. In my heart I failed to do this. So if we can get under the grace of God, which is the divine influence upon our hearts, we will with our heart feel to love somebody. We will feel to give. And it will be such a strong feeling. And remember, when you feel to go and do something wrong, that emotion is so strong that it eventually drives you to go and do it. Now, grace is much stronger than sin. So if you can feel to love, not by, I must go and love because the Bible says so, but you feel love because of a revelation of what God has done for you, that feeling to go and love somebody, that feeling to go and give, will supersede all other emotions and all other things in your life, and you will, man, it will be almost impossible not to do it. Now, it might sound, man, Bertie, that's too good to be true. Let me explain it to you. The same feeling that God has inside Him to do good to you. Or let me put it this way. The same feeling God had when He gave Jesus, for God so loved the world. He felt that He wanted to. He felt that I want to treat them better than what they deserve. That He eventually gave His Son. That's what will be in you. And there will be nothing that will be able to stop it. God knew that His Son's gonna die. Now let me tell you, I can go through a hard time and I can maybe say, well, I will offer up something for somebody. And I can say, the Bible says there might be people that are willing to die for somebody, but to give your son to die for somebody, to see my son that was born out of my wife, going and dying for another man's son, that's something else. Now, if that emotion that you love somebody becomes so strong that you are willing to see through that, to see victory in the life of somebody, I tell you, it is a strong emotion. It's a power that needs to be reckoned with, and that's what will come into your life through the message of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It will be unto holiness, it will be unto righteousness, it will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, temperance, meekness, faith. All those things will come into you and will be so strong as what it was in God because of the Word of God. Hallelujah. That is called the influence upon your heart. God will influence your heart with love. He will influence your belief system with grace, and it will act out in the life. That's why the Greek meaning says the divine influence upon the heart and the acting out in the life. Because God's influence, when He influences you, by you not being under the law, but being under the finished work of Jesus. Man, let me tell you, that influence is so strong, it must manifest in your life. And if it doesn't manifest in your life, please don't feel condemned. Just get more of grace. Hallelujah. That's it. Man, everybody of us, I don't care if it's the holiest pastor on television, every person in this life has got areas in his life where he needs to change. And where he needs to see more of God's grace. If it's not like that, you will see that person with a glorified body like the body of Jesus Christ, shining with the glory of God. Not a need for food, not a need for anything. Not a need to drink water ever. He will only drink water because he wants it, but he will not be in need of it. You can place him on a mountaintop for 500 years and he'll never die without drinking food or having drinking water or having any food. That is immortality. Now, I don't know such a person on this planet. And as long as what you don't experience immortality in your body, there's room for you to know more of God's unconditional love. Hallelujah. So what must we do? Study out grace. And the whole context of the series is the multiplication of grace. Why? So that we can see a multiplication of rulership in our lives. The multiplication of hearing the unconditional love of God is directly linked to the multiplication of God's influence in your life. The more you know what God has done for you, the more you know Jesus' obedience on your behalf, the more you will know His influence in your heart and the more you'll see His character manifesting in you. And that's what we're going to look at right now here in 2 Peter. Let's read from verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And then verse 3 is so important. "And this is according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertains unto life and godliness through the acknowledgement or knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." Now listen, He says here, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertains unto life and godliness." Now listen, everything in this life and everything unto godliness is by His divine power, and God's influence in your life will be, this is what He says, grace, God's influence will be multiplied, and everything in your life that pertains to life and godliness has been given by His divine power that will influence you in your life. All you need to do is renew your mind to the message of God's unconditional love and not do's and don'ts and laws. Remember, the law testifies that we, by grace, will be like God. The law does not say the things we must do to be like God. It says, it testifies that we are not saved by works, but by grace. That's what it says in Romans. I don't have time to look at that. Let's go to verse 4. "Whereby, by Jesus, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust." Now, people, that's very important. He says here that everything, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you according to the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ." Okay, then he says, according to this Jesus and what He's done, everything that's unto life and godliness has been added unto us and has been provided unto us through knowing, of course, what He's done for us. Okay? So, everything that pertains to this life, in your life, will manifest if you can know what God knows about you. The more you know the message of love, the more you know the message of Jesus obeying on your behalf, dying on your behalf, resurrected on your behalf, and the more you can apply it to every area of your life. Say, well, according to my finances, it's by grace. My healing, it's by grace. My deliverance, it's by grace. My righteousness was by the obedience of Jesus. My healing was by the obedience of Jesus. The more you can think and like that, the more you will find everything in this life that pertains to life and godliness coming to you through His divine power. Not your divine effort. Hallelujah. Man, I don't know how to say this more plain. But the more you put your concentration, your meditation upon the finished work of Jesus and what He's done for you and on behalf of you, influencing man, the more you'll find that by His divine power, all things being added unto you for this life and godliness. Seeing it manifesting in your life, not just potentially or spiritually, but I'm talking about manifestation now. Right. Then it says, by Jesus are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, in other words, by what was promised through Jesus, what was promised through Jesus? That through Him I'll have salvation. Through Him I'll have life everlasting. Through Him I will rule and reign. Through Him I will be a child of God or a son of God. Through Him I am an heir of the kingdom of God. Through Him the kingdom of God belongs to me. Hallelujah. That through these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. So the more you know what Jesus has done, the more grace multiplies, which is God's divine power, the more you experience the divine nature in your life. Hallelujah. Now you need to go and read this for yourself and read it over and over and study it for yourself. Then it says here, we are partakers of this divine nature because of something. It says, when did this participation or sharing in the divine nature of God come? It says, by having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. Now we need to stand still there for a while. There's corruption in this world. That word corruption does not speak of bribing somebody with money. That word corruption speaks of decay or gradual going backwards. Everything going backwards gradually. Dying, death, decay. Like if you think of a piece of steel that's outside in the rain, especially if you in the Durban area close to the ocean, man, you will just see that thing decaying and rusting away like you can't believe. A piece of metal just rusting away, that's decay. Okay? So now it says, we have escaped the decay that's in this world through lust. Now that word lust there is the word desire. Now it says in the Strong's that it especially of evil things. But it also can speak of good things. There can be lust in your heart for good things. There can, now money is not bad, but the love of money is a problem. You know, godliness is not bad, but if you always desire to be like God, it's a bad thing. Now you might say, Bertie, now you are really taking it too far. Let me explain to you. If we go and look at Adam and Eve and we need to look at this because we're talking about grace. We're talking about God's influence. And if we don't understand these things, how will we ever bear fruit? The Bible says the word that was sown in the good ground are those who heard the word of the kingdom and understood it. And when they understood it, then they were bearing fruit. And those who heard the word and the birds came and snatched the seed away are those who heard the word and did not understand it. So we must understand and really get into some examples that can touch your belief system. Now, Adam and Eve was already like God. But then the Word of God says, the devil came and tempted them saying, you can become like God by knowing good and evil. So, what were they desiring? To be like God. By knowing good and evil or doing right and wrong. Doing right things, of course. Knowing right and wrong, but doing the right thing. By knowing good and evil, they can become like God. So, what was their desire? To be like God. Now, that desire to have more from God, let me put it this way, not just to be like God, but to have more from God, can be a wicked thing. There can be decay like that. If you look in that, if you look at the Pharisees, they wanted to be like God. But in their effort to be like God, they were wicked. There was decay in this world through lust. Now, it can be lust for bad things, of course we know that. But I also believe in a lust for good things, there can also be a lust, I must have more, I must. In a lust for it, there's decay. Now, I know this can bring confusion, but I don't want it to bring confusion because God's not the author of confusion. It's not confusing if you see it through grace, but it's very confusing if you're under the law. Not the grace bringing confusion, but the law that we're in bringing confusion. What this actually says is, it says there is decay in this world, or corruption in this world through lust. Now we have escaped that. I don't lust after having diligence or lust after faith because it's been given to me. If I lust after faith, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be in a problem because the devil will tell me 10 things to do in order to get that. He will tell me, you know, you must pray more. You must do this more. You must love people more. You must. And you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to get all those things right. And then I'm going to find my relationship with God slowly going backwards. Everything slowly going backwards and I'm not experiencing life. So what God wants is He wants us to escape the lust for holiness, but receive holiness. You know, as long as what you say, I want to become holy, you are also saying you are not holy. The more you say that I am not righteous, I want to become righteous, the more you are, well, let me put it this way, the more you say I want to become righteous, the more you are also saying I am not righteous. And then you live by what you believe. If you say, I want to become righteous, it is because you believe you are not. And out of your heart flows the force that drives your life. And with the heart we believe unto righteousness, or with the heart you believe unto unrighteousness. So if you say, I want to become righteous, you're saying, I am not righteous. If you say, I want to become healed, you say, I am not healed. If you can come to a place where you can hear what God thinks of you, go and ask God if you're righteous, man. Go and ask God if you need holiness. Go and ask God if you are complete in Christ or not. And let's have His reality, because the more we know His acknowledgement, the more we find grace in our hearts, and the more we find grace in our hearts, the more we find the manifestation of the very divine nature of God in us. So if you really want more of a manifestation, let's put it this way, of love in your life, the more you need to believe that love is in you. Romans 5 verse 5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Why? Because of God's grace. Hallelujah. That's why. And when it's shed abroad in our hearts, we love. Amen. So, let's escape the corruption that's in this world by saying and putting things there, we must still be delivered. We must still receive love. We must still be made righteous. We must still be made holy. We must still be, we have been made all those things in Jesus Christ. And to those who can believe that, unto them is given to be the sons of God. A son of God, to be like God, to be a partaker of the very divine nature of God. Don't make everything futuristic. Well, one day I'll be righteous. What? You know what? I'm expecting the manifestation of the glory of God on my physical body. Immortality, the life of God. You know why? Because I've got this treasure in earthen vessels inside me. The glory of God has been shed abroad. Inside me, I've received it all. And because I believe I have received it all, there's a manifestation of that in our lives. So if you struggle financially, if you struggle in your relationships with people, there are things concerning the grace of God. There are things concerning the work of Jesus on your behalf that you still need to understand. Hallelujah. Now, I do believe that we have received the mind of Christ. So we understand these things and it has been given unto us. But every day, as I look into this, I understand more of what has been given unto me. You know, the other day I was just thinking, I said, Lord, why do we have to sometimes go to another preacher and we receive anointing there, and then we walk in the anointing as what he's walking in the anointing. Then we go to another place in the world and we see some anointing there and we receive there. Why is it like that? Haven't I received the fullness of the Holy Spirit? And the Lord said to me, Bertie, I've given you my Holy Spirit. And there's not a part of the Holy Spirit. I don't have the foot of the Holy Spirit or the hand of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God's in you or is not in you. One of the two. But when I go to somebody else, like for instance a prophet, that knows how to prophesy, that can really prophesy the Word of God, and I see how he prophesies, I find that spirit of prophecy coming into me, and I also find it easy to prophesy. Do you know why it is like that? And this is what God told me. He says, that man only showed you how to operate in what you've already got. Hallelujah. You didn't receive the Spirit there. If the Spirit's in you, if you believe, if you receive the Holy Spirit, you've got it all. But that man only showed you how to use what you've got. I might have 20 programs on my computer, not knowing how to run all of them, and I might go to somebody that shows me how to run the program that I've already purchased, that's already on my computer. It's exactly the same with these things. By grace, we discover what we already all have by knowing the finished work of Jesus. And as you discover these things, by reason of use, having our senses exercised in the good things that has been given unto us, we find that we live the life of Christ and the very nature of God indwells us. Amen. Let me tell you, the grace of God, the message of God's unconditional love is what will empower you to have that fullness of God flowing through you. Man, isn't that awesome? Thank you, my God, that every person that's listened to this precious, precious word has been impacted. They've been engraced by your word. I thank you, my God, that love flows towards them. I set them free from fear. I set them free from bondage by preaching this message to them in the mighty name of Jesus. I say you are the righteousness of God. You are forgiven. You're the apple of His eye. He's crowned you with dignity and worth. He's placed you on the throne of God. You're not a sinner. You're the righteousness of God. You are set free. Stand up in the name of Jesus. I command you, in the name of Jesus, stand up in your freedom. Amen. Thank you that you've listened to this broadcast, and please make use of our ministry products. It's up for a donation of any amount. Any message you hear, you can order on CD or DVD. Thank you, and God bless you.